Welcome to the Pope St. John the 23rd Vocation Podcast with Monsignor William Fay. Here at Pope St. John the 23rd Seminary, we realize it's never too late to respond to God's call. If you're a man 30 or older, discerning a possible call to the priesthood, or someone who supports these later vocations, this is the podcast for you.
Good day to everybody who's present with us today and for this lovely podcast from Pope St. John the 23rd National Seminary. My name is Monsignor Bill Fay, and I'm on the formation faculty here. I teach and I work with individual seminarians, guiding them through the process of priestly formation so that they can enter into later the diaconate and to priesthood. It's lovely to have you all listening in. I'm joined today and delighted to be joined today by Deacon Zachary Alspar from the Great Archdiocese of New York. Welcome, Zachary. It's nice to have you.
Thank you, Monsignor.
I'm going to begin today. I've always had a great fascination with New York as a city. I can remember as a young boy, I was 16 years old, there was a great celebration in New York. It was called the New York World's Fair, and it was out on, I forget which part of New York it was on. Was it in the Bayside area?
Yeah, it's out in Queens by the baseball stadium.
Yeah, and I was so fascinated. I had never seen a city like this with these huge buildings. And then, of course, we went to the fair, and it was spectacular. And one of the most memorable parts of it for me was that the Pietà was on loan from the Vatican, from St. Peter's, to New York for this fair, and we got a chance to see it. Tell me about your experience with New York. I understand it's a city that you came to know and love late, and through that became a seminarian for the Archdiocese of New York.
Yes. My father worked in accounting for the KPMG, and when I was a little boy, he took us on a business trip to New York. And I remember that experience flying over the city into LaGuardia and just seeing all these massive buildings and all those people down there that lived there. And I was like, wow, I want to go there one day. So later on, when I went to film school at the School of Visual Arts in New York City to study filmmaking, I got to live in New York City. I lived on the Upper West Side. I lived in Gramercy Park. There was actors, writers, painters, photographers. That time in New York City, you could get an apartment for $800.
So you got to know the city, you got to like it. And you told me once that you just, at a certain point when you discerned the vocation, that you just approached the vocation director there and asked if it would be possible to become a priest of the Archdiocese.
Yes, my story is a long, circuitous route. Mm-hmm. I was born Episcopalian. Mm-hmm. I was involved at the Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. Mm-hmm. And this would have been the early 2000s. And at that time, that church had a homeless befriending ministry where they allowed homeless in the neighborhood to sleep on the church steps. Now, these were men and women that were the most difficult to reach. They were afraid to sleep in the shelters. They were chronically homeless. And there was a man there that ran this homeless befriending program who himself had been homeless for 11 years. Knew how to connect with them. It was a very simple ministry. It was to wake the guys up, help them bring their cardboard that they were sleeping on to the curb for pickup, and then serve them coffee. So I did that for 5 years, from 5:30 in the morning to about 7, just as the city was starting to come alive. And many times after that ministry with the homeless, I would go to St. Patrick's Cathedral or St. Monica's Church up by my apartment and just pray for them. You know, as I'm doing this, I'm thinking like, well, what would a priest do to help them? So at that time, I was not yet Catholic. I was still a Presbyterian. So I said, okay, well, I want to go to seminary. So I went out to San Francisco to study at the San Francisco Theological Seminary. And I was there for about a year.
Was that an interdenominational seminary?
Yeah, it was part of the GTU.
Okay. And the GTU is?
The GTU is a consortium of Protestant seminaries in Berkeley. So there's Methodists and Lutherans and Episcopalians.
Wow.
And I think, in fact, actually, the Jesuits have they're part of that. I think it's the Jesuit School of Theology, but I'm not sure what.
I think that's it, yeah.
And it was a class that was for, like, field education. and you'd go to a church and you'd write about your experience. Well, I found myself wanting to go back to Catholic churches. And I just remember going to the Catholic church right across the road from the seminary and watching all the people come in and genuflect and kneel and the quiet and just sort of the reverence for the Mass. And I thought to myself, that's where I need to be discerning. So I withdrew from that program and then moved to San Francisco and found an apartment by a St. Monica's church. And I started talking with the priest, and one thing leads to another. He receives me to the church and a year later. And then I approached the vocation director out in San Francisco. You know, I said, you know, I was in the seminary for a year. Would it be possible if I could study for the priesthood? He says, well, here's the deal. You need to have 2 years as a Catholic before we'll sponsor you. And then we'll talk about that. So I lived in a oratory and took a job at FedEx, you know, just get experience, get to know San Francisco better. And they did. They sponsored me. And I was with the Archdiocese of San Francisco for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And I had a very good experience with them. But I always had this feeling like, I want to come back to New York. I want to be a priest for New Yorkers. Mm-hmm. You know, I just remember those powerful experiences I had working with the homeless in the city. You know, St. Patrick's Cathedral now has a program where they worked with Fifth Avenue and St. Thomas, the Episcopal Church, helping with the homeless in the neighborhood. So, you know, I approached the vocation director in New York one summer when I was, you know, here for vacation. I said, would it be possible to switch dioceses? You know, I don't want to be that guy. I have a really good relationship with my friends out in San Francisco. And he says, well, here's the deal. If you want to come and discern with us, I need to talk to your vocation director, and then you would do a pastoral year for us, and then you would apply for the seminary. I said, okay, well, I'm about to do a pastoral year in San Francisco. Let me do this out there. Let me just do like a really good prayerful look, really spend time. This is the diocese that I would spend the rest of my life as a priest in. Let me just like make sure that, you know, I'm not going off where the grass is greener, or as my father said, better the devil you know than the devil you don't know. And then at the end of that time, I said, yeah, I will always regret it if I don't at least give New York a chance. So I talked to my vocation director in San Francisco, and he talked to the vocation director in New York. They gave me their blessing. They said, you know, go where your heart is leading you. So I did a pastoral year in New York up at St. Mary's of Washingtonville, and then they said, you know, you're older, we'd like to send you to Pope St. John the 23rd Seminary, which really resonated with me because I had read his books in the seminary out there. And
That was a reference to Pope John the 23rd, Journal of the Soul.
Journey of the Soul, yeah.
Yeah, and it's the recollections of Pope John the 23rd about his own spiritual evolution, how yeah. God got into him and continued to grow within him until he led him right to the papacy. If you were counting off for us the many different things that led you to New York, I'm thinking to myself, God's providence is truly amazing, you know, and I hope as you look back over this in hindsight, you can see that very direct hand of God. It is unlikely that your being here is a mistake. It just seems that there was one confirmation after another, even to landing in the place that you're going to spend the rest of your natural life in.
You know? Yeah, it's really, if you really have a good spiritual director that you can be honest with, tell them what's going on, where you sense the Lord leading you, and really spend time in prayer, and then trust that God is magnanimous. Mm-hmm. I mean, he loves you. He wants what you want, mm-hmm. in some sense. Like, he mm-hmm. he knows you. He's like, I know the place that will be a good fit for you. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, also don't forget we have to deal with the cross and suffering and, you know, redemption. And there's still challenges, just like any diocese.
But there's that pull that's going on in our lives. I always go back to that wonderful line of St. Augustine, Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. He's the one that's going to lead us. He's the one that's going to draw us in. He's the one that, and all we have to do is just open our hearts to where it is that he's leading us. And the story that you just told about your own vocational discernment, he pulled you right into Catholicism and then said, we're not finished yet.
Right.
There's another step I want to see you take.
Yeah.
Next year at this time, you'll be serving in the priesthood.
That's right.
You're excited about that.
I'm terrified, but I'm also very excited.
Good. I just celebrated the summer 48 years as a Catholic priest, and it's just, you know, it has its challenges, there's no question about that, but what part of life doesn't? But the joy that one has from just living out that degree of faithfulness that the Lord gives to us is really quite extraordinary. Talk to me a little bit. You come to the priesthood as an older man. What has the embrace of celibacy been like for you? Has it been more of a challenge than you thought? Has it been more of a grace than you thought it was? Talk a little bit about that. I think folks listening in might be curious.
Well, the celibacy really is a gift. And, you know, when you enter, before you enter the seminary, you don't want to be dating for 2 years. You want to be like practicing celibacy, you know, getting the sense of like, you know, what it's like to be giving yourself completely to God. And well, I have excellent role models in marriage, in my parents, my grandparents, certain friends, and part of celibacy is loving someone through good times and through bad times, mm-hmm. being faithful. The priest is faithful to the vows. He's faithful to his church. Mm-hmm. You have to have a sense of like being able to love in a universal way. Mm-hmm. And there's also a bit of a spiritual poverty because mm-hmm. we don't have somebody at the end of the day we can come home to, and mm-hmm. but we're in solidarity with the people that are, I don't know, maybe in a nursing home,
exactly.
or, you know, have been separated from their spouse or don't have a person in their life. Right. And that makes us available for yeah. them at all hours when they need yeah. us for anointings or...
Yeah. Just for our audience, when we make the commitment to celibacy, we're making a commitment that we will not look for marriage in the priesthood. And within that celibate commitment that we make, that Deacon Zach just identified so beautifully for us, there's a real sense of trying to grow in the virtue of chastity. And what's interesting about this virtue is that chastity is the virtue by which we look at other human beings as human beings, as subjects in their own right. And so chastity needs to be a virtue that's very present in marriage as well. And so we are called, all of us, whether in marriage or in celibacy, to make that dignity of the other human being right at the top of our agenda for life. And it's really a very wonderful thing to live.
And I found in some of the ministries I've done, whether it's leading a funeral vigil or baptisms or bringing Holy Communion, because I'm living a life of celibacy, I'm just able to reach people without having to worry about a wife and kids.
People say to me, do you miss being a father or a husband? I say, there's a part of me that does, because I'm human and the Lord created us to be complemented in that kind of way. But I know in my own heart that I would find it very difficult to live with split responsibilities like that. I'd be back and forth. Am I being fair to my family? Am I being fair to the Lord? Am I being fair to the people that I'm serving? So for me, celibacy, though a challenge, has been just an enormous blessing. And I think most priests who would be asked that question would answer in a very similar kind of way. Before we finish today, I want to take a moment to let you know that Deacon Zachary is not only given himself for this interview today, but he's the very man who has produced, taped, and edited these podcasts that we're bringing to you. And we're so grateful for that, Zach. So thank you very, very much. And thank all of you who've tuned in today and who've been faithful to these podcasts. We intend them for a wide variety of audience. We want you to know what goes on in the seminary and how these men prepare themselves for priesthood. We also hope that it's going to get other men who might be tuning in and who could be possible candidates for the seminary, single men who may have been married and lost their spouse to death or to divorce, who might feel that they're being called by the Lord and would, through these podcasts, come to a greater understanding of what seminary life, priestly formation, and the priestly life is all about. So thank you for tuning in. I hope God is rich in his blessings to each of you, and we look forward to seeing you again next month. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening, and be sure to check out our website at www.psjs.edu. Remember, the first step to answering God's call is making the call. 781-899-5500.